How can we become more patient? Welcome to The Good Word. We continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit, and today we are focusing on patience as a fruit of the Spirit. My conversation partners are fellow teachers, Walla Walla University School of Theology, Aline Bauer and Paul Dibdall. Thank you to both of you for helping us. Let's focus in on that question, and I want to unpack it just a bit more. When I ask, how do we become more patient, is it something that's genetically determined? Are some people just by nature more patient? Is it possible, however, for the even most high-strung person to become more patient? Would memorizing key patience passages be likely to help? So, how do we become more patient if you're wound up tight?
When you talk about it being genetically determined, that reminds me of a story. I remember my father telling me about a teacher he had in college who was well known for losing his temper, becoming angry, not being patient, the opposite of patience. And one time a student confronted him about his anger, and he said to him, "Young man, I have controlled more anger in 5 minutes than you will in a lifetime." And so, you know, I think there are people whose, natural tendency is this flare-up. And we must be very careful in judging that because we don't know the struggles that might be going on.
Yeah. One of the quotations that I find really intriguing, and it's kind of a scary one. I don't use it very often, but it's actually by a British actress, Eva LaGalle Young. She says, "People who are born even-tempered, placid, and untroubled, secure from violent passions or temptations to evil, those who have never needed to struggle all night with the angel to emerge lame but victorious at dawn, never become great saints." There are these enormous differences. And is it genetically determined, well, though?
I don't think it's safe to say it's genetically determined, but I think certainly our biology and the way in which we were raised, it certainly influences our patience quotient, so to speak. In fact, I would answer a kind of a qualified yes to each of the three questions that you asked. Is it genetically determined? I would say, well, not determined, but influenced.
Partially.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for even the most high-strung person to become more patient?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think so. Would memorizing key patience passages be likely to help? Yes, probably so.
If they were internalized, not just memorized.
That's right. If somehow they could make it into our
Let
into
me
our
let me be a bit brutal here, and if you don't want to answer, we can just have a moment of silence and go on. But what have the two of you found to be most helpful in encouraging the concept of patience?
I would say two things for me: trying to keep the big picture in mind. Instead of just focusing on this singular event right here that happens to be frustrating me at the time, to try to take a step back, gain some perspective, then helps me to reengage in that instance in a way that I think is more patient. And I really shouldn't be talking about this even. I'm not an expert on patience. The other thing is, I think the better we come to understand other people, we become more patient with other people. If we knew what they were going through, if we could really walk in their shoes for even a few moments, we would treat one another with a much more patience.
And I think coming back to our Galatians 5 passage here, really to treat other people the way we would want to be treated if we were in their place means that you have to try really hard to get inside their place. It's not treating other people the way we would want to be treated, but how we would want to be treated if we were in their
place.
That's fairly crucial. Let me pick up that genetically. Well, I didn't want to cut you off. Aline, what do you find most helpful?
Well, I liked what Paul said about seeing the big picture, because I think sometimes you can ask yourself, is this event going to matter, a week from now or even by tonight? And that's hard to do in the moment when it's happening, and I don't always do that. But those are excellent examples that Paul gave, and I think we're talking about the Spirit-led life, and I think that could be the prayer at the beginning of our day. You know, Father, send your Spirit to help me view these events that may cause me to be impatient or angry, to see them through your eyes, to see the people who are causing me that strife in the way you see them. And then trust that the Spirit might nudge us in that way before we get to the point where it's too hard to hold it back.
Maybe I could just tuck in a story here. You probably heard me tell this before, Paul. But really playing racquetball has been very helpful in helping me to come to the conclusion that almost all of our initial reactions are non-volitional. We don't decide how we're going to respond. Way back when, Paul, when I was playing racquetball with your dad and with Jerry Winslow and with Chuck Scriven,
I'm not sure that you should have named names, but it's too late now.
We'll go for it. Anyway, Bib Dahl, your dad, had the reach. He'd just stand in the middle of the court and reach anything. See, I had the speed, Scriven had the power, and Winslow's version was that Winslow had the brain. And this is the part that probably shouldn't be on the air, but it's too late. Jerry's old and weazened now anyway. But one day, I played singles with Scriven. And at the end, he says, you know, Thompson, speed on your feet is like perfect pitch. Either you have it or you don't. Mm-hmm. And boy, that was an eye-opening moment for me. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 says, you know, what do you have that you were not given?
Right.
And if it was given to you, how can you brag?
Right.
See, as a male, there is nothing more deliciously wicked feeling than to be able to turn on the afterburners and leave those guys in the dust. I mean, even from an observer's point of view, you watch the 100-meter dash, the 200-meter dash is just something.
Yeah.
But I didn't choose to be that way.
Right.
You take a kid on the grounds, grade school kid, tell him to run faster, it's just not there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's been enormously helpful for me to simply recognize that person. Only God knows how much they can change. So, now, I can still talk to them about inappropriate behavior, but their initial reactions are really quite beyond their control.
Well, you know, you ask Alden here, the first question, is it genetically determined? And we're talking about patience. But I think my question would be also, does that apply to the other fruit of the Spirit that we're looking at? I mean, is it just easier, more natural for some people without the Spirit's help, or at least acknowledging the Spirit's help, to have more of these characteristics than others?
For example, I would look at the list, and I would think that in general, women would be better in just about each one of these categories.
Yeah, I would
men.
Agree. No, I'm kidding.
So these are more feminine characteristics. The masculine characteristics are more likely to end up...
Well, let me read those. No. They're listed a little earlier in the chapter.
Well, it's, I'm thinking of some of C.S. Lewis' comments here about in Mere Christianity, he says you have to be very careful about comparing the nice atheist with a nasty Christian. He says you don't know how much nastier that Christian would be if they weren't a Christian.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
And he talks about, I like this metaphor, he says when you have new management taking over an old factory, it will help some, but you still got the same old equipment.
Infrastructure.
That's a good example.
And someday the Lord will give you a brand new machine.
Yeah.
And then he talks about, then a horse will be able to fly, jump fences you never dreamed were possible.
But what is encouraging is the Lord understands the old factory.
Yeah. He does. Yeah.
And he loves that enough to want to come in and change it, but he still understands.
Yeah.
That's a great encouragement to me.
Now, one of the things, and you kind of commented on this because I got carried away, if you have access to the study guide on this, it's a huge study guide because I have been...
I'm a little impatient with it, actually.
Well, the reason for that is that devout conservatives who have a passion to do something for God, I have the suspicion sometimes that they really think that impatience should be one of the fruit of the spirits rather than patience. And that's why some of the stories that I've listed here, example of God getting at these people, the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah and Achan and the Amalekites and Uzzah, these are all examples where you could build an argument for an impatient God, and boy, we're going to be impatient too. See? Now, let me run that by you about my suspicion about impatience being one of the list of virtues, at least in the minds of some people. Am I out to lunch on that, or... Can at least I get a modest amen from the two of you?
I guess I'd give a modest amen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that there's a sense in which if you're not doing something, mm-hmm. if you're not somehow attacking evil, calling sin by its right name, setting people straight, that you're not really doing the work of the Lord, which is could be a kind of impatient approach to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're all teachers. Does that ever apply to how we relate to our students if they're not turning in their work or doing something? Is there an impatience there that would help them? Or maybe that's the wrong term to use. I don't know.
Well, we just finished reading a whole book that we occasionally read. We Thought We Heard the Angels Sing by Jim Whittaker. Tells the story of the Eddie Rickenbacker situation mm-hmm. down in the Pacific for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, and whenever anybody started to be grumbly, you know, Rickenbacker would take it upon himself to make them just flaming mad. See? But he did it deliberately because he wanted them to live. Mm-hmm. And so he got them, just get that anger. Yeah. And I think that there is, you know, Ellen White used the phrase sometimes, a cruel kindness. Oh, that's all right. Where in some cases, people need to come to grips with that. And so this question, is it possible sometime to be too patient? Should we, in fact, now I'm saying some people carry that way too far and mm-hmm. say impatience is the way we mm-hmm. ought to go. But is it possible for us, in fact, to be too gentle at times when we should be firm?
Is that patience, though, being too gentle?
Yeah.
I mean, patience, isn't patience bearing up under difficulty?
Yeah.
A sort of steadfastness, faithfulness, continuing? I don't know that it's possible to be too patient.
And I'm wondering if there's a different word other than impatience to use to explain what you are talking about. Because I think Paul's definition of patience is the one Paul is referring to here, Paul in the Bible.
Yes.
And rather than just, it doesn't matter, anything,
right.
It's okay, you know, whatever you do.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's patience
no.
by my definition, so. I don't know that it's possible to be too patient, as I think patience should be defined. Patience doesn't necessarily mean inactivity or apathy.
Because if it's listed under as a gift of the Spirit, is it possible to have then say, oh, I don't need any more of that? Or
Not too much faithfulness, not too much kindness.
So. In other words, each one of those has a built-in governor.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So that it comes
so.
Out right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think an incredibly patient person should be able to, as Jesus did, to up the temperature appropriately. And I think that's really what we...
They may patiently struggle against injustice all their life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A very active life.
Yeah.
But the life of patience.
But they do it in a very patient way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is a parable that Jesus told, and we don't have really time to explore it. But the parable of the weeds were allowed to grow until the harvest. Is that an important one for understanding the very nature of patience?
I think so. And I think it gives us a beautiful picture into the heart of God.
It's so easy for us to want to root things out early when we really do that. So, Jesus' parable of the seeds, I think, are often very helpful in dealing with that particular thing. Well, our time is up. Thank you, Paul and Aline. These same two people will be with us again next week when we talk about kindness. My thanks to Michael White, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in for the good word. I'm Alden Thompson. Some of you may want to have the opportunity to listen to the good word again. You can do that. On the Positive Life Radio website, go to plr.org. Under Programs, you'll find Good Word. If you want to order a CD, there's also information there as to how you might get your own copy of this if you really are excited about hearing it again and again and again.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.